It's the sports talk show that could be hosted in a bathrobe. Time for more Game On with Wes Moore.
Back at it, we'll head straight to the Fidelity Communications hotline and bring in Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good to see you at the game Thursday night.
Yeah, it was good to see you. Good to get up there and get a game in without hurricane effects and all that good stuff. Got out of there relatively soon and got back at about 3 a.m. So I guess all things considered, it went about as well as it could have.
What did you learn? What did you take away from the game?
I don't know that you learned anything long term. I think Thursday was confirmation that Chase Hayden is as good as I thought he was in fall camp. I mean, you see him go through both scrimmages and look like just kind of he's got a different gear than anybody else on the field. And you think, huh, I wonder if he'll be able to do that when the lights turn on. And obviously the competition isn't great, and that's kind of why you sit there and wonder how much you can take away. But the fact that he did that in his first college start kind of just was confirmation of everything that I think all of us in the media saw during fall practice. I mean, he's so quick. He's got great moves, and I think what Brett Bielema said yesterday was kind of true. They didn't even feel like that was his best or even close to his best. And I guess Chase was disappointed after the game because he thought there were runs that he could have turned into bigger runs or cuts that he could have made or maybe little moves that he had that he wasn't able to quite get because he was excited because it was his first game. And, you know, the moment was big. But, I mean, that said, he was, I think, one of two freshmen in the country to run for 100 yards last week and the only one that had 100 yards and a touchdown. So he really kind of showed exactly what you thought he could. It was nice to see the fact that he came in and did just continued what he did in fall camp, and really, I mean, he looks like somebody that he's gonna demand touches because he's that type of playmaker. And he definitely lived up to the hype, definitely lived up to what he did in fall camp, and so I'll be interested to see. I would expect him to, you know, he wound up with 14 carries, I think, and they wanted to get him the ball late in the game to get him more reps on Thursday, and I think that was definitely done with looking at TCU and other games in the future and having those in mind and wanting him to be ready for a similar workload or you know, double-digit carries in those games, because I think they realize that they've got somebody who can be a kind of a home run type guy and make big plays, and Thursday was just confirmation of that.
Chase Hayden is the SEC Freshman of the Week, just tweeted it out, so he was very impressive on Thursday night. We're talking with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, I was impressed with Scooter Harris. There were a couple plays that he made, but just flying around to the ball, aggressive. He just looked so much more maybe confident out there Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the little reverse they ran where he starts off, he follows the flow and then manages to run down a receiver on the sideline. I mean, that was an incredible play. You look at the angle he took and just the ability to get from the far hash essentially to the sideline with a receiver and make the tackle for a minimal gain was, I mean, that's a play that for all of Brooks Ellis's positives, for everything good that he brought to the table, that's one that he probably doesn't make. They're definitely more athletic at linebacker with Scooter Harris, and I think you said confident. I think that's the right way to describe it. He was very assertive Thursday. He was in the right place a lot. He filled the hole, and he looked athletic doing it. So by no means does this mean that he's going to have an all SEC caliber season, but I think that he for a young player, he's got a lot of tools that you like, and you look at him and project toward the future, especially as he keeps getting more experience. And he's somebody that I think can be a playmaker on this defense. And you know, the first game, Dre's first game in forever, he hasn't really had a lot of contact, and he didn't really do a whole lot. He didn't have to do a whole lot Thursday. But I think once Dre gets back into the flow of things and as it moves on, I think that's got the potential to be a really good duo, you know, a much more athletic duo than they've had in the past. And they hope that the 3-4 kind of frees them up and allows them to be playmakers.
Jimmy, I think the loss of Brian Pulley's huge. You just lose an all-SEC type corner and then replace them with true freshmen. It's just, I think this is a big blow to this team.
Yeah, it's gigantic. I mean, there's no way around it. Brian Pulley is by far the best corner on the team. You talk to all the receivers. You know, we did a story during fall camp about the different DBs, and in talking to the guys on the team, the receivers on the team, Brian Pulley, in their mind, is by far the best corner. Not even a contest. And obviously, he proved that last year with finishing second in the SEC in deflections. He's just so physical. He's got long arms. He has the attitude, the kind of mindset, demeanor that you want at corner. And he's a shutdown guy. And obviously, he's got the red shirt, and so that'll help. And he'll be back, and he'll be a junior again next year. But for this year, yeah, it has the potential to be a killer, because I think Cameron Curl showed enough in fall camp to think that he will be a really good player down the line in the future. But that's not right now. I don't know how much he can – he's going to have freshman moments. That's a given. He's going to be prone to mental mistakes and just physically. You know, he's 18 years old. Maybe 19 years old. He's young. He's going to be going against guys who have, you know, played in the SEC for 2 or 3 years. He's, you know, Kevontae Turpin on Saturday for TCU. He's going to be going up against experienced veterans, and that's a lot to ask for someone who's only played one college football game. He's played 35 snaps at this level. You know, he's tall. He's you know, got the potential to be physical with the frame that he has, and they really like him. They beat out Oklahoma for him. I think he came here partially because, you know, he thought, hey, maybe I can crack the rotation pretty soon. I don't think anybody thought it would be this soon. And obviously behind him, you've got two other young guys, and Chevin Callaway and Brito Tutt, that neither of them have played much football. So going into the fall, you thought, man, the depth of that position is really good, because you've got your first two corners in Ryan and Henry Tolliver, and then some promising freshmen. But whenever you take one of those starters away, especially Ryan, especially Pulley, it starts to become a big question mark. And, you know, quite a matchup for Cameron on Saturday to have to immediately step in and go against TCU your first start. So I would expect them to target him. It'll be interesting to see how Arkansas does or doesn't try to maybe help him out a little bit in coverage. But yeah, I mean, there's no getting around it. That's a huge, huge loss. I mean, Ryan Pulley's probably, you know, he's arguably at times your best defensive player. He's definitely one of the two or three best players on that side of the ball. So, yeah, huge, huge loss for them that they're going to have to try and figure out how to overcome.
Jimmy Carter's with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Check him out, wholehogsports.com. Hey, Jimmy, offensively, going back and watching the game and playing through it in my mind, they didn't attack down the field at all. Were they keeping it simple? Was it something, you know, they just weren't, and maybe it's because I was watching over the weekend and watching all these deep passes, and I don't think there was a pass over, maybe the longest pass could have been the touchdown in the end zone. What was that, about like a 25-yard pass, 30? I don't know, but there just weren't a lot of deep passes.
I think it was like 20 yards maybe to Deion Stewart. There was that, and then a kind of similar one to Jerrod Barnes too. But, yeah, nothing deep. Danny said they called 3 deep routes, and on one of them, Austin Allen got tripped up, and Frank Ragnow's feet got tangled at the snap. And so, you know, that play ended up not doing anything. I think that was a concerted effort to not show a whole lot. I mean, they didn't have to run a deep route to beat Florida A&M. I mean, it's not something they need to do. And Florida A&M made a concerted effort to not let them get behind them. They played a 3-deep zone. They backed the corners up, and they were not going to give up anything over the top of their head if they could help it. So that was partially the defense and the look that they were going against. And then, you know, I thought they made a good point yesterday. I thought Dan made a good point that, last year you knew what a Keon Hatcher could do, what Drew Morgan, guys like that, Dominique Reed at the time, whenever he was still in the rotation. So opposing teams knew, okay, this guy can do this and this and this. We have to be ready for the specific strengths that those guys brought to the table. You don't really know a whole lot about these current receivers in the rotation for Arkansas. Jordan Jones has really never been in a game yet. He's maybe the fastest guy on the team and somebody they think can be a big play guy. So I think there's a little bit of that, not wanting to tip their hand as far as personnel-wise, like, oh, this guy is a deep threat and somebody that we're going to try and stretch the field with because they didn't need to. So I think it was a little bit of what Florida A&M did, and then maybe just not wanting to show TCU some of their personnel and who might be somebody that they're trying to use going forward in the deep game.
It was funny. One time they had one deep safety, and Jordan Jones went out there, and you could tell he was in man coverage. It was first down. I was like, they're going deep here. They're about to attack. It was play action pass. I'm like, here we go. And he cuts it off and runs like a 10-yard out. And they throw it to him, and I think yeah. That was his one catch. But there was just nobody around him. It was an easy toss and catch. But I think maybe that was. Why show it? Why let TCU know, dude, you better, if this guy, he's got some speed, you better be ready for him. So I think that's a right. Good, fair point. Jimmy Carter's with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. All right, so you've seen Arkansas play. We saw, TCU, they had a cream puff also. Do you feel better, worse, about the same about this TCU game now?
I'm about the same. I think we've known that TCU is always good at bouncing back. I mean, that's been a constant in Gary Patterson's time there, and I feel like with the talent that they have offensively. Last year, their defense wasn't great, but their offense was just so bad by comparative terms to other Power 5 programs that I think that they figured that, with the different guys that they brought back, with the continuity that they had, they should be a lot better. Obviously, like you said, they played a terrible team. Jackson State's not good. But they've got a lot of guys that they can line up at receiver that can be playmakers, and they've got some freshmen in the rotation and more depth, I think, on that side of the ball. Defensively, I think it's still up in the air. That'll be what's really interesting to me. They've got a lot of younger defensive linemen, where last year the D-line was a strength of theirs, and Arkansas really, especially for the first three quarters, handled them pretty well. This year they've got some inexperience up there. They've got guys who don't have a lot of experience at this level. They are a little bit bigger, so that'll be what's really interesting to me, is kind of how Arkansas's offensive line is able to handle what TCU does and the blitzes that they try and bring, the pressures and just the speed that they try and put on the field to give teams problems, because we saw a little bit of that creep in on Thursday, that speed gave some of these guys issues. Colton Jackson had some issues early. They got better as the game went along, but I think that's still a valid question, a question mark for sure, especially against good competition. So that'll be something that I think is going to be a huge factor, is how they handle TCU's speed on defense and especially up front, and how they're able to block them, and if they can control the tempo, because that's something that they definitely feel like is a big key, keeping TCU's offense, keeping Kenny Hill on the sideline and really making TCU's defense work and controlling the game.
Great stuff, Jimmy. As always, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, and I'll see you this weekend.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. See you Saturday.
See you. Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com on the Fidelity Communications Hotline.